Music right there from Tokyo Police Club. That was from their album Force Field, and that was Hot Tonight. You're listening to Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. I'm Juliet Frommold, and before that we heard Broken Bells from After the Disco. We had the Lab Partners from Seven Seas, and started off that set with St. Vincent doing Prince Johnny from her self-titled album. I am very, very excited to have this evening's guests in the studio. They were here quite a while ago talking about a DJ night that they were doing, kind of a unique concept. And sort of out of that came a band, and we're going to hear the story of that and of some recording they've been doing, some gigs they've got coming up, all kinds of good stuff. But first, we're going to hear live music from Dirty Clean here in the WYSO studios.
Frame upon frame, Frame the bun. Frame the bun, frame. Frame the bun. Frame the bun, frame.
Dirty Clean, live in the WISO studios. We've got Jay Madewell and Josh Eglin in the house. Welcome, guys.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Really good. Good to see you.
Wonderful to have you guys here. It has been quite a little while since, I think you guys were here, it must have been right in 2012 when we had first gotten started in these studios, and you guys were doing Dirty Clean as the DJ thing all the way out at One Eye Jack's. Now, I know it's been a little bit of a journey, and now you've been recording. Tell me what things have been like over the past year, especially with the recording of the album.
Well, we'd always wanted to push towards the direction of making our own original music from the origins of those DJ nights. And we finally just kind of hunkered down last summer and last fall and recorded this album that we've completed and it's being mastered right now for a vinyl release. And it's called Welt am Draht. And it's a song cycle that I wrote over the past summer. And it all happened so fast now in retrospect that it just seems like it seemed very effortless. We self-recorded, we self-produced, and then we launched a crowdfunding campaign to finance the vinyl release, and we've found all sorts of listeners from all over the world, which has been very exciting.
Definitely.
So,
what was the writing process like going from those DJ nights to wanting to do, you know, original stuff and creating an album that is a song cycle? How did you guys make that transition? Was it a difficult transition, or did it happen very naturally?
I thought it happened pretty naturally.
We had played some music together with others, so we had that going for us going into it.
Yeah, we you know, toyed around in other bands. We play in a band called Monkey with Bomb that's fronted by Ryan Roth. And so we had some, you know, experience being with songwriters. And I myself started kind of doing some singer-songwriter solo material last year, which I played out at open mics, and I have not recorded anything from that material yet. I'm kind of keeping that in the back pocket. But the Dirty Clean stuff came for me from a film that I became obsessed with last year called World on a Wire. It's a it's a German film. The German title is Welt am Draht, which is what we titled the album after. And it's a 1974 sci-fi film that I just watched over and over again and thought it lent itself very well to the kind of sound that we had in mind. So kind of provided the launch pad, if you will, for the music we created.
And then once you started creating that music with the film as kind of the backdrop or the inspiration, how did you two then collaborate on the songs? Josh, were you kind of bringing material to Jay and you guys were fleshing out the parts, or just kind of working things out in the studio together and seeing what happens? Or
we kind of inadvertently pushed towards this really binary aesthetic, wherein as a duo we each contributed half of the sound and I would bring in the melodies and the compositions in raw form and just kind of play them for Jay, and he would flesh them out with his drum parts. And sometimes what I had originally envisioned wasn't what came of the process, and it was just this constant ebb and flow, this sharing of ideas, to kind of figure out how the songs best work. And it was a really fun process.
Definitely.
Now, were you guys recording that whole time as you were going through this process? Were you documenting that process, or did you sort of go through this creation process and then decide to put it to tape, if you will?
Well, it kind of took place over the summer in terms of we would meet and rehearse, and I would bring new compositions for each rehearsal, and you know, some of them didn't work. Some of the ones that I did expect to work didn't work, and some of the ones that I did not expect to work did. And a few of them actually arose just from me improvising keyboard parts against drum beats that he was playing. And it was just kind of a, you know, raw creation, if you will, at that point. And then when we did settle down to record it, it was more focused and definitely more of like, okay, well, we've got these songs. They're pretty much completed. We just need to lay them down to tape. So we, you know, got a laptop and made it happen.
Nice. Very nice. Jay, I want to ask you as a drummer, I've seen you play in many band settings over the years, as well as the work you've done with different open mics and things like that. Mm-hmm. What's it like for you being part of a duo like this, where it is very binary, as Josh was saying, and going through that writing and creation process as one of two?
It's been really refreshing because one of our jokes is that we sat down and tried to figure out what's the lowest number of people you can have in a band and it be more than one, and it's two. That way I just ask them, you know, do you want to do this? It's simple yes or no. No mm-hmm. waiting to hear back from people, even though we all have cell phones and are wired. But the thing about this project is it came from our DJ night is the locked rhythm. I play into a click track, and a lot of our songs have a, you know, four on the floor bass drum thing going, so kind of in an atmospheric dancey world, although it was really strange seeing people dance to this at Sideshow. It was cool. It was really cool. But we didn't know what that was going to look like.
I was going to ask, you know, coming from a DJ night, did you guys think about the idea of the danceability of these songs when you were writing them, especially with, you know, sort of, you know, the film and the song cycle idea being in your head, Josh? Were you guys thinking about, you know, obviously there's an electronic aesthetic, but was danceability sort of part of the aesthetic that you guys wanted to create, or was it just kind of what ended up happening?
Well, a little bit of both, I suppose. I've always been fascinated by the sound of analog synth music, and with or without the dance factor, a large influence for me in songwriting in this arena has been the music of Vangelis and some of the synth soundtrack composers of the 80s. that I, you know, have just listened to over the years, ever since I was a teenager, and just kind of bled into my subconscious, if you will. And I was coming from that area, really, and knowing that Jay would bring more of a four-on-the-floor disco beat to a lot of this stuff, and kind of just trying to figure out how that would work, and it did kind of create this fun tension, this ebb and flow of I was coming from a more musical realm, if you will, and then taking it into a more dance-oriented and, as he was saying, strict rhythm to a click track. It really affected the sound in that regard. So it wasn't so much intentional from my behalf, but I bet if you asked Jay, he would say that he wanted it to be danceable all along.
It's interesting. It's almost like we're trying to see how undancy we can make something but be in a locked rhythm. and you know, we'll just find out what that looks like as we play more shows, I guess.
And for me, it's also, you know, that whole matter of dancey doesn't necessarily have to be a dirty word.
Right.
Definitely.
A lot of my favorite music from the 80s outside of film scoring is, you know, Manchester stuff, and New Order was definitely a huge inspiration for me throughout my music writing, and understanding that you can make music that kind of crosses and blurs the boundaries between just good music and dance music.
Well, I wanted to ask about that, especially in terms of your crowdfunding for your album. You mentioned that you've had response from, you know, people from all over the world, and I feel like internationally there's a bit of a better understanding of that whole dancey does not necessarily equal, you know, top 100 pop concept. But do you guys find, as you're starting to, you know, play more gigs and put the band out there more, is that a hard sell to be able to say to people, we've got electronic elements, but we're not a DJ thing, and we're not, you know, a poppy kind of thing. You know, we definitely have a rock basis as well. Does that make the marketing of it trickier?
I don't think so at all. I think that, if anything, that's one of the things I was trying to get away from in promoting this album, if that's what I can call it. It can be such a dirty word, but it doesn't have to be, you know, just like product. It doesn't have to be a dirty word.
Right.
But I feel like people are much more open and receptive to a variety of music than they're often given credit for. And not just in music, but in film and literature and every sphere of creativity, people get compartmentalized against their will. And I think that if given the opportunity to embrace something that doesn't have a label per se, people are more likely to be receptive and to respond to it in a favorable fashion. So I really wanted to push for, if you will, casting as wide a net as possible. And by collaborating with a wonderful local photographer and a wonderful local artist to help create our visual component, and that would be Jennifer Taylor Clark and the incredible Roger Owsley, whose artwork was definitely a huge inspiration in terms of pushing forward with this project and realizing the album as a whole. It really, I think, transcended the parts, if you will, once it all came together as a whole. And at that point, personally, when I look at the finished album, I don't feel like it needs a label. I don't think that we need to call it electronic music even. I think we can just call it music and see what people read into it for themselves.
And I think that's a perfect segue into another live one. I'm going to let these guys get set, and we're going to hear another live track from Dirty Clean. We've got information on how to connect with them on our Facebook page. We are at facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio. Go there, like them, connect with them, and we'll be here momentarily posting some information on a gig that you are going to enjoy, and we'll be talking about it here in a second. But first, I'm going to let these guys play another one. Mm-hmm.
I'd be here. There isn't only one way to see it through. Tell you how hard you would try, and you would love for me to make you feel this way. I could never say, is this the last of grace? Am I the only one who ever cared for you? The one I need. Never wanted more. How could I be blind? There isn't only one way to see it through. Tell you how much I could love your eyes, and you'd love for me to make you feel this way. And I could never say, is this the last of grace? Am I the only one who ever cared for you? know you want me. You are the one I need.
Music from Dirty Clean live on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. We have the band in the studio. We've got Jay Madewell and Josh Eglund in the house.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Very, very happy to have you guys here once again.
Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Now, the album, as we were talking about just a few minutes ago, you finished recording and it's in the mastering phase right now?
Yes, it is. And a brief aside before we get on to that next subject, this last song that we just performed is actually not an original. It is a Curse of Cassandra song, and it's the first cover we've ever performed. Just wanted to clarify for any of our listening audience, if you liked what you heard, you might want to check out Curse of Cassandra. We'll be playing a show with them here in the near future, which we'll move on to later. But getting back to the album itself, it is being mastered at the moment over in Chicago, and hopefully we'll be getting the vinyl out this fall.
Great, great. So something to look forward to as we round out the summer into the fall, get that vinyl release out there. Now, speaking of Curse of Cassandra, I just saw the Facebook posting once it popped up about the show that you guys are doing with them on July 11th. That is going to be quite the event. Tell us what's going to be happening on the 11th.
We will be playing the Boonshoft Museum of Discovery, which is a planetarium here in Dayton, and it will be a interactive multimedia show. It's going to have some interesting projection and light components, and this will go for both bands, and the two bands being Dirty Clean and Curse of Cassandra. Who are a local electro band as well, we've started collaborating on the logistics of the show just a few weeks ago, and it's all starting to come together, and I'm very excited about what the end result will be.
That's got to be a really cool experience to have that kind of visual accompanying your music for this type of a gig.
It is, and we actually, as a backing band for Ryan Roth and Monkey with Bomb, we had the great pleasure of playing the planetarium once before for a bill with Cricket Bows, who are a local rock band and a psychedelic rock band. And that was a really fun show, and it was very interesting how different genres translated into the visual format of the dome projection, and it was very exciting. So I'm looking forward to collaborating with the Boonshoft again.
What does the rest of the summer look like for you guys in terms of gigs and writing and all of that good stuff? Are you going to be staying pretty busy, or just kind of taking things as they come and getting the album ready to unleash upon the world in the fall?
Well, we have some new T-shirts. That's something that we've come up with recently.
We do. We have T-shirts, which will be for sale at the show, and we will have them up on our Bandcamp page as well under the merch section. That will be coming up shortly. And we do have the album available for digital download. Is currently available at our Bandcamp page. And it's a wonderful thing.
And Bandcamp and Facebook, are those the two best places for people to connect with you guys if they want to keep tabs on what you're doing and, you know, merch and the vinyl release and the digital release and all that good stuff?
Bandcamp, Facebook, and YouTube. Those are your three best bets. We do have quite a few tracks up on YouTube and music video filmed by the lovely Jennifer Taylor Clark for our single Delicate Nerves, which was released earlier this year. And we have a few other things up there as well, but primarily Facebook and Bandcamp.
Perfect. Excellent. In terms of looking ahead, do you aim to kind of keep doing the vinyl release thing, or are you going to kind of see how this one takes off? Or, you know, was that always a goal of yours to put this on vinyl when you started recording it?
Well, it's definitely been a dream of mine to have my music on vinyl, being a vinyl lover myself. I feel that in the digital age where I myself, like many people, you know, have an iPhone in my case. I know a lot of people have an iPod, but we use iTunes and we have, you know, these wonderful digital libraries, which are terribly convenient and a great way to access our databases of music. And I feel that for myself, as well as a lot of people, if we're going to invest in a hard copy of something, it's nicer to have a larger piece of artwork and to have a better sound alternative. Not to say that CDs don't sound wonderful. I use CDs like everyone. But I think there's just something to be said for having a record on vinyl and having the two sides. And that was something that actually all along during the composition of these songs, I was thinking of sequencing and thinking of how this would play out. So really from the inception of this project onwards, it was thought of in that, once again, kind of binary mode and in a vinyl format that would allow for two separate but complementary experiences, being the side A and the side B.
Nice. Nice. Well, we'll definitely have something to look forward to this fall when that's ready to roll.
I hope so.
In the meantime, shall we hear one more live one?
Certainly.
All right.
This next one's called Ex Machina.
We've got Dirty Clean live in the YSO studios on Kaleidoscope.
Pieces of face, descending soon. This is the place. Place. Just this is a fact. Descending soon. This is the place. No more pain. No more joy. Here I am again. Just another lonely boy.
Dirty Clean, live on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WISO. Check them out on July 11th at the Boonshoft Planetarium with Curse of Cassandra. Details on our Facebook page, facebook.com/kaleidoscoperadio. Go there for the link as well to get the digital version of their new album and to connect with them and keep tabs on that vinyl release. And guys, before you go, I think... We're gonna do a little. You've got a little something to offer our listeners.
Yeah, I'd like to give away a pair of tickets for this upcoming show at the Boonshoft. So, what do we say? Maybe fifth caller that calls in at the YSO station
works for me. Fifth caller at 937-769-1998. That's 937-769-1998. Fifth caller gets a pair of tickets to Dirty Clean's show with Curse of Cassandra at the Boonshoft Planetarium. Jay, Josh, thank you so much for being here. It was such a pleasure.
Thank you. Pleasure was all mine.
Thanks so much.
Fifth caller, 937-769-1998. Fifth caller gets those tickets to the show at the Boonshoft. And of course, all the details are at facebook.com/kaleidoscoperadio. Go there to connect with Dirty Clean. Stick around, more live music coming up a little later on in the show. Right now, here's Joseph Arthur covering Lou Reed.
Sometimes I feel so happy. Sometimes I feel so sad. Sometimes I feel so...